Good morning, everybody. Good to see all of you this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer, if we please join with a word of prayer. God, we've gathered here today as your people, and this is your church. Be with us this morning. Open our hearts and our minds to receive a word from you. Let that word plant a seed deep in our hearts. I know that we have those among us who are dealing with so many things, but in this moment, give them peace. Help this word to be a word that renews and restores. And be with this intern pastor. May this sermon that you have prepared for me and put in my heart be an acceptable offering to you and to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Okay. So the other people can see on this side.
Oh, I do have some good pictures. So, yeah. If nothing else, you get some good pictures. So, all right. So we are going to continue on a series that Pastor Marianne has started, which is called No Fear. No Fear. And we find ourselves in the Gospel of Luke, where the angel of the Lord arrives to Mary to give her some pretty remarkable news. This scene in the Bible is often pictured in stained glass, and I love to walk through churches and look at stained glass windows, especially when you happen to catch it just right and the light comes in through the window and just makes those pictures come alive. So around the world, this particular scene, which in the church is known as the Annunciation, is a scene that is captured in stained glass. The Annunciation is when the Word of God takes on flesh in Jesus Christ. We're going to talk a little bit more about the stained glass windows kind of at the end of this message. But what I want to share with you is that in all of this time that I spent in this text with Luke, the words of the author and also the images of the stained glass that kept going through my mind, I was continuously pulled back to the messenger. I just didn't feel I was really good at talking about pregnancy and things of that nature. So I went to the messenger. I went to the messenger. Or should I say the messengers or the messages? So we all know this song. We hear it this time of year, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I was going to title this sermon Herald, but then I knew I would get the question from somebody. Who's Herald, right? What does Herald have to do with all of this? So I want to answer that question for you first, if it happened to have come to your mind. Herald is a noun, and it means an official messenger bringing news. An official messenger bringing news. So in our text for today, let's take a close look at how this definition of herald, an official messenger, plays into the lives of God's people. And that includes you and me. Before we march on in our look at this moment in the life of Mary, we should also consider the author, whose perspective we're sharing in this account, in Luke. Luke, which is the longest book in the New Testament, we know this about Luke. We believe Luke to have been a doctor and also a painter, an artist. So in the book of Luke, there is rich language speaking to the ministry of the oppressed and those who were disadvantaged in this account of historical context, this writing in this time. And I know people, I've been blessed with people who practice medicine and support the practice of medicine, and I know them to be compassionate, loving people. So that speaks to the words of Luke and how Luke really digs deep into the meaning and looking at the lives of the people in the book of Luke. God sends the angel Gabriel to deliver a message to a young girl from Nazareth, that place that so often is spoken of poorly in the Bible. An unmarried young girl, a virgin engaged to a local carpenter named Joseph. Considering the historical and social context, The message that Mary receives serves to shock the reader, but not nearly as much as it shocks Mary. When reading across different interpretations of this account in Luke, we read Mary's reaction to this message from the angel Gabriel. Mary was greatly troubled, one version tells us. Mary says, "How can this be?" Mary is perplexed, in another interpretation. And yet another, Mary was confused and disturbed. You see right away that in no way had Mary been prepared for this. God met Mary at a time in Mary's life when all seemed in alignment, right? Soon to be married and ready to start a new journey. Hang on to this vision of Mary's surprise in the message that God sent through the angel Gabriel. Hang on to that for just a moment. This is where I want to shift to our view, to shift inward. Look at our lives as it applies to this message. In our lives, my life and yours, has God met us in some pretty unexpected places and some unexpected times with a message that left us shaken? There's been a couple times in my life where I have clearly heard a message from God. Some you've shared stories with me of this, the times that we've met, and those stories mean a lot to me, and I thank you for sharing them, about when God has spoken to you. One such story for me, on December 12th of 1988, I was in a really bad car wreck. Fortunately, I was by myself in a rural area. That's when it happened. So as my car was rolling across the cornfield, in the midst of breaking glass and twisting metal, that's when I heard a voice. And this wasn't just an idea. It was a voice that seemed as clear as day. The voice said, "You're going to be all right." It was enough to give me reassurance, to give me hope, to know that this accident, which, as you can see, I made it, everything was going to be all right. That voice, that was a message from God. Another time that stands out in my life to date so far is when I clearly heard and felt the message from God that would put me in this place of being in full-time ministry. When God called me into a place where God told me, as clear as day again, "You can do more." And that was my call to full-time ministry. The truth is that one of the best ways to actually prepare to receive a message from God is just to simply make yourself available. And you're going to hear me say that a lot. Find places of quiet. Make yourself available. Be in constant prayer. Open yourself to the work of the Holy Spirit. This ladder that I hope everybody can see represents the efforts of so many to work their way towards what is thought to be closer, in closer proximity to God. This climb towards God may be in an effort to be able to hear God better, or perhaps even earn favor with God. We know in our learning about Martin Luther, that was something that Martin Luther practiced in the beginning of his faith journey, which drove him absolutely crazy. And then he learned about grace. Brothers and sisters, God meets us where we are. Let us not forget that the birth of Jesus Christ, God's entry into the world, in this time the kingdom of heaven was brought to earth. It was brought to earth by way of what the people of their time considered an insignificant set of circumstances. Was God coming down to us? Of course. God does not seek out the heroes, the proud, the ego-driven, or the powerful. It is in the paradox of our Christian faith that God calls us to action as God's servants. So paradox. Think of what a paradox is. And we've heard of a paradox in our Christian walk on a regular basis, so I want to touch on that real quick. Here's a paradox that may sound familiar. The first will be last, and the last will be first. You know it well. Strength is found where? in our weakness. These are paradoxes in our Christian walk. I want to read to us a text from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians that so clearly speaks to this paradox. From 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. Listen closely for the paradox in this reading. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were noble or of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in this world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not to reduce to nothing, but things that reduce the things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. Do you hear the paradox there? This is the paradox of our Christian faith. And we, you and I, are the means by which God is at work in this world which is hurting. Each one of us, and there are no exceptions, each one of us has been given authority to share the message, the good news, with those around you, in here, but even more importantly, out there. And that's a great place for an amen, everybody. I challenge anyone here today to give me a reason why the love of Christ cannot work in and through us. Let's revisit the stained glass scene, the Annunciation, which I told you about earlier. So in this scene, which I would have put it up, but it's very distracting to me. I'm like a dog and a squirrel. I would have been all over with this message. This scene shows the angel Gabriel, hands outstretched, one hand showing the sign of the Trinity, another hand holding a lily, which is a sign for purity. Mary before the angel in prayer. Both characters in this image are shrouded by what looks like a halo, which, if you didn't know, shows us in the Bible the presence of the Holy Spirit. Above Mary and the angel, a beam of light shines down, and a dove descends. God is so clearly present in this image of the Annunciation. But what we cannot see in this image, what we cannot experience in this stained glass image of the Annunciation, is one of the most powerful pieces of this story in the life of Mary. And that is Mary's response. It is Mary's response that reveals to we the readers, it reveals Mary's faithfulness to God. This response serves also to change the atmosphere of our lives when God sends us a message. Mary's response, if we hadn't forgotten from our reading today, here am I. Mary's trust in God, Mary's faithfulness, lead her to travel to Elizabeth, who, as we read, is in her sixth month of pregnancy. Elizabeth's baby, when hearing Mary's voice, jumps within her. And the baby, who we learn to be John the Baptist, serves as a messenger to others to prepare the way of the Lord. The message of John the Baptist was that the kingdom of God had come to earth. So you see, there are a lot of messengers, and there are a lot of messages that are happening in this image. Advent is a time for God's creation to prepare. We prepare by receiving Jesus Christ with joy, opening our hearts and lives to serve God and to serve one another. It was in that manger among the animals where God put on flesh. I pray that we never forget the paradox of this scene and what it means to us in our lives. I pray that we are open to receive the messages that God sends our way. those we are to hold deep in our hearts, and those we are called to shout from the rooftops. The message that God has given us through Jesus Christ is salvation. Or a little Greek for you, soteria, salvation. We had to have some Greek this morning. Someone here may be holding a message now that God has called them to proclaim. And it's very possible and likely that fear has seized and paralyzed that messenger. Think about this sermon series that we're in now. Fear not. We are not always going to get it right, and that's the truth about us as humans. We're going to make mistakes. But it can be said that when God is using us as messengers, and when God's Spirit is filling our sails with blessed assurance, it makes everything else, all the worries of the world, seem rather small. The light of Jesus Christ has the power to bring us alive. And like the stained glass, when the light enters us and radiates out, think about what message people will receive. Amen.